You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to, I've been teaching on, are you storm ready? Everybody say storm ready. And the storms are coming. Let me tell you, it's a coming. Whether you realize or not, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, storms are coming. Maybe you're having a good time, and I'm glad, thank God for it. But I understand that this world we live in is not heaven. Maybe you hadn't figured it out yet, but I have. This is not heaven, and sometimes we get sucker punched, and tragedy hits, and crisis hits. I'm not looking for it. I'm not believing for it. I just know it's part of this life. It's not God. I don't believe God's into death and destruction, disease, and all those things. But God's fully aware of the fact that it's around, and it's been around since Adam sinned and brought death into the world. That's literally what the Bible says in Romans 5:12. It says, by one man sin entered the world, and then death by sin, and death passed upon all men. So the problems down here are not God. It's sin. It's not necessarily your sin. It could be the sin of Adam. You're affected by other sins. And just because you're going through a bad time doesn't mean you did something wrong. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. If you did, repent. If you didn't, well, just keep believing God. You'll get through it. Amen. And hallelujah, we definitely got heaven coming. Woo! Are you out there, somebody? But storms are just part of life. Jesus, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he talked about the Beatitudes. He talked about, in the fifth chapter, the sixth chapter, he talks about your attitude toward prayer and fasting, giving, and so on and so forth, and your trust and faith in God to supply your needs, just like he feeds the sparrows and clothes the lilies. And then the seventh chapter, he talks about judgment, not being judgment of others, people, but also being quick to ask God and look at God as your Father. And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? That's the seventh chapter of Matthew. He ends that chapter by saying, I will liken this, a man that hears my sayings and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the floods came and the winds blew and the rain beat upon that house, and it stood because it was built upon a rock. All these sayings, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them. Well, that ought to make you pay attention, you know, and back up and say, wow, what were his sayings? That's the fifth, sixth, and seventh chapter. So if we hear those sayings, not just hear them, but do them, then when the storm comes, and my brother and sister, the storm will come. Okay, he's not saying it won't come. But when it comes, you'll still be standing. Are you out there? And then he said, a fool was a man that heard my sayings, 5th, 6th, 7th chapter, and did not do them. He heard them, but he didn't do them. Went to church, opened the Bible, heard what was said, but really didn't apply it to his life. And you know what? Storms came to his life too. But the outcome was different. Said his house fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, when you think it through, it wasn't the storm that knocked the man's house down that didn't do the word. It was him not doing the word that knocked the house down. Because the storm hit the other guy too. But since he was doing the word, it didn't knock his house down. So a lot of times we're blaming circumstance, we're blaming problems, or blaming crisis for maybe driving us away from God, or destroying our lives and so on and so forth. But actually, if we just keep believing God and keep standing on his word, we'll get through the storm. Storms come to all. They come to everybody. We're not immune from the storm. What we're immune to is the end result. We're not immune to the attack of the devil. Do you know that? There's not a person in here that is immune to the attack of the devil. I have power over the devil, but he still comes. And when he comes, I use that power over him. But his attack, well, he is always going to attack. He's always going to tempt. He's always going to test. He's always going to try. He's always going to throw stuff at me. But hallelujah, I just hold up my shield of faith by which I am able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He didn't say, hold the shield of faith by which you will stop all the darts from coming. No, it just says that you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we need to be storm ready. That's what we've been teaching on. And over in the 8th chapter, he goes from the 7th chapter into the 8th chapter where a storm takes place and they're out in the boat and he gets all over their case because they wake him up. But in one sense, storms don't wake Jesus up, you do. Amen. You need to wake up the word that's in you. You need to wake up the word that is in your boat. Are you out there? You in the boat with Jesus, I hope. But the word's not just going to take over. You're going to have to wake the word up. You're going to have to stand on the promise. You're going to have to confess the word. You're going to have to speak to the wind. Interesting enough, he told them about the storm in the 7th chapter. Storm happened the 8th. And you know what? They just cratered and failed. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And Jesus had to rebuke the wind, and he rebuked them after he rebuked the wind for not doing what he did. We ought to do the same thing. Amen. So you can see some progression of steps there. Really, I began to write down as I was studying this. It goes from there to where Peter walked on the water. Remember where Peter walked on the water in Matthew 14 chapter? Y'all remember us talking about that? James talks about if you lack wisdom to ask, God gives to all men liberally, upbraideth not. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, it shall be given. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea that's tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In the storm, we need to be single-minded. In the storm, we don't need to waver. How can we be single-minded? How can we not be of two minds? Ask God, he'll give you wisdom. Amen? That's what he says. So you see from that, you need to hear the word, and you need to do the word. That's 7th chapter. And then you need to stay in, you need to wake up the word, that 8th chapter. Then you need to stay in faith, what James says. And then you need to keep your focus, because that's what happened to Peter. He lost his focus and he began to sink. And that was a storm too. All those instances were storms that took place, some literal, some figurative, in James' case. But it doesn't matter. The truth's still there. If you and I don't hear the word and do the word, and if you and I don't wake up the word in the midst of trial and storm, if you and I don't stay in faith and stay focused, then we're going to sink. So it has to do with what we're meditating on or thinking on, because stinking thinking will cause you to start sinking. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Peter was doing fine when he's looking at Jesus, and he actually walked on the water. But when he looked over at the waves and looked over at the wind, he began to sink. He was afraid and he began to sink, as if smooth water was easier to walk on than rough water. Never have quite understood that, have you? I wish these waves would calm down, because I can walk easier on smooth water. No, walking on water is a miracle. That's what he failed to see, that life itself is a miracle. Every day is a miracle. Even your good day is a miracle. You just didn't realize it. So when the wind started blowing and got a little rough, you started going under because you thought you were staying over by your great sense of balance. Hello. You were only staying up, period, because of God. Even on the good days, it was God. Okay, moving on. 1 Timothy, turn there if you would. 1 Timothy, the 1st chapter. Hallelujah. Y'all getting something out of this? Yeah. So, I mean, you can see some steps here. Hear the word, do the word. Wake up the word, stay in faith, and stay focused. And in 1 Timothy, here's an allusion to a shipwreck, which would happen during a storm also. But notice what it says in 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went forth before you, that you by them mightest war a good warfare. I like that. Man, I tell you what, you ought to hold on to every good word you ever got from God, whether it was by prophecy or whether it was by encouragement from someone or from the scripture. You use that to fight with. Are you with me? We use the word to fight with. Yes. It's not just bulldog tenacity. It's not just sheer force of will. It is actually using the word to fight with. Jesus used the greatest weapon that anyone could ever use when he was tempted by the devil in Matthew the 4th chapter. 3 times the devil came to him, and 3 times Jesus said, "It is written." Because that was his greatest weapon, was the word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6 talks about it. So what we fight with is the word. Do you know what the word of God says? Do you know what the promise of God is? Do you know what God has granted you or benefited you or bestowed upon you or loaded you up with here from God's word? Well, he daily loads us with his benefits. I know that. And the benefits are his promises. And so by those, I war a good warfare. I fight a good warfare. I win battles with the word. Amen? So he said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you by them might war a good warfare, holding faith, we've talked about that, and a good conscience. Everybody say good conscience. Which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You know, we don't hear a lot about that nowadays. I mean, we should, and there are still churches that do teach it. But I do believe in holy living. I don't believe living holy is going to get me saved. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by faith. I'm saved by what Jesus did. But I know living holy has benefits. I know living right and obeying God has great consequences. Are you out there? Well, y'all sound real excited about this one. I'll just stay here till y'all get it. We'll just, okay. It just pays to serve God. God wants us to love people because that's the best thing for us. God wants us to forgive because that's the best thing for us. You know, I shared this quote I read the other day. Is Nelson Mandela said that. It says, resentment is like drinking poison and hoping it kills the other guy. You know, really, we're all upset and mad about something somebody did, and we're just hurting ourselves. We're not hurting them. They're just happy as they can be. They don't even know you're mad. I've actually had people come and tell me how mad they got at me years ago about something I did. I never even knew about it. And I just lived my life. Mr. Bluebird was on my shoulder. I was singing zippity-doo-dah-zippity-a. And they were miserable all those years about something I did. And it didn't hurt me. It hurt them. Hello. I'm not saying I was wrong, right or wrong. I'm just saying they hurt themselves, but not forgiveness, forgiving, and bringing it up. And so holy living has benefits. There's no question. And one thing for sure that Paul's talking about here when he's telling Timothy about a good conscience is that a good conscience will keep your faith working. In other words, I'm believing God for something, but I got this sin in my life I hadn't repented of, or I'm angry with someone or mad at somebody over here I hadn't forgiven. If that's the case, it could be anything. We could name anything. But when I'm trying to believe that sin's coming up because I hadn't dealt with it, I hadn't handled it, my conscience is not clear, and so my faith's not working. I'm not earning my prayer. That's not what he's saying. I'm not good enough to get a prayer answered. It's just that my faith works by love. And if I'm not forgiving someone, my faith's not working. Are you with me? It's not that God won't give me the answer. I can't believe for it. Whoa, y'all catch that? It's not that God will reward me when I repent. It's I get the junk out of the way where I can believe when I repent. And so in a shipwreck or in a storm, so you don't get shipwrecked, what Paul's saying is we need to keep a good conscience. Hallelujah. Stay pure, stay holy. Don't hold bitterness. Come on, we're not the world, we're Christians. We're believers. That means we actually love people and we actually forgive people. Doesn't mean we don't sin. It doesn't mean we don't get mad. But it means we repent of it and we get over it. Doesn't mean we don't fall. A righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. Are you out there? Doesn't mean we don't get hit, but we heal. Are you out there? So keep your conscience clear. Don't hold anything against anybody. Are you kidding me? Don't think about how you're going to get to someone because they did something to you. Let it go. Come on, just let it go. You know, I often talk about that on the Isle of Malta there where Paul put his hand in the fire, you know, and got bit by that snake. And it says he shook it off. He didn't say he walked around and says, hey, I'm fulfilling Mark 16. I've taken up a serpent. No, he shook that snake off, you know. Just like I shook that snake off, bit me. I would, you know, I didn't want to, hey, y'all, look here, you know. But the problem with not shaking it off, when you get bit, with bitterness, or you get bit with unforgiveness, or you get bit by offense, or you get bit with hurt, if you don't shake it off, the longer that thing holds on to you, the more poison it gets in you. You want to get rid of it as quick as you can, because the longer it's there, the more poison you get. Hello. And you know, we got a kid about it. We've said it many times. We can tell when you've been bit and hadn't shaken it off, because you swell up and you puffed up. Y'all, you need to shake that thing off, because you're puffing up here. I can tell already you've been bit. Are you out there? Get that stuff out of you. All I got to do is mention somebody's name and you go. Somebody can just mention their name and you hadn't forgiven them. Boy, here we go, man. I mean, that poison just. Are you out there? Yeah, it's impossible to be mad at somebody you're praying about every day. Do you know that? There's a lot you can read into that. If you're upset with somebody, you are not praying for that person. Okay? Now, here we got a political arena going on. I don't know if you know or not, there's presidential election going on. Okay? It's hard not to, unless you just, you know, unplug the TVs and internet and phones and close all the doors, pull the curtains down, and don't go outside. But there is a presidential election going on, and people are very hot on both sides, and they get very mad. Are you with me? And I believe in this country. I believe in the system. I believe in voting. I believe in praying for our leaders and so on and so forth. But I find myself getting very extremely upset and mad at certain people in the political arena, and I can tell right away I hadn't been on my knees praying. Not saying that I would ever agree with anything they're doing or ever agree with anything they want to do. Are you with me? Or ever agree with anything they've already done. But I am under a mandate to pray. And I'm not supposed to hate. Are you out there? You said we just lay down. No, we don't lay down. We go down and vote. We're vocal. We stand up for what we believe in. But I don't hate anybody. I don't want to hate anybody. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. Because if all you do is just watch the news all the time and all you do is talk politics all the time, and I believe that in politics it's a necessary evil, I guess you'd say, that we have in this country, and we need to be involved as Christians, and we need to get out there and we need to have our say. If every Christian voted in every election, our country wouldn't be in the mess it's in today. I believe that very firmly, very strongly. But what we've done is we've complained and not voted. It's like the whole civil rights movement has flipped its vision or its approach. Martin Luther King had a dream. All we have now is a complaint. There is no dream. It's just gripe. It's complaint. It's why, a bunch of spoiled little kids. Listen, we'll never get anywhere that way. You can't antagonize and influence at the same time. Oh, boy, y'all need to think about that one. Do you want to change or you just want to gripe? Let's do something. Amen. Same thing about your life. Same thing about this storm. Do you want to gripe about the storm or you want to stop that storm? I want to stop the storm. I want to stop the insanity. I want to stop the damage. All right, in my life, in your life, my children's life. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. I believe in solving problems and fixing things and not just griping and complaining. Let's pray. Let's believe. Let's stand on the word. Are you out there? And it's not going to help for me to sear my conscience. It's not going to help for me to get angry and mad. Are you with me? Because the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. It's not going to help me be silent. That's not going to help anything. I've got to be loud and I've got to be vocal. But I can't be mad. If I'm going to get mad, I need to get mad at the devil. Woo. Man, it's getting quiet in this church. Y'all out here. You know, sometimes you need to turn the news off. After you've heard it for 5 minutes one day, you don't have to turn it on for 3 or 4 days. It's the same thing all day long anyway. Hello? Just maybe flip it on about once every 3 days and just, you know, catch up what's going on. Okay. Y'all receive that? That's okay, good. Good. I already assumed you did before you said so. I got one person that did, and that's good. Thank you for coming. Whoever said amen back there. So we want to hold a good conscience. We want to keep our conscience clear. I want my faith to work. I want to be effective with my prayers. I want to really make a difference. And once I throw a bunch of anger in there and a bunch of sin in there and a bunch of unforgiveness and resentment and hatefulness, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's going to shut it down. It's going to shipwreck my faith. So I want to hear the word and want to do the word. I want to wake up the word in me. I want to stay in faith. I want to stay focused. And I want to keep a good conscience. I'm not mad at the world because they're in sin. For God so loved the world. Amen. I don't like what they're doing. I hate what they're doing because what it's doing to them. But I don't hate them. You know, I say this all the time. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. You know, not most churches. And you're sure not going to hear it on TV. I believe homosexuality is a sin. I don't hate homosexuals. Amen. Are you out there? In fact, bring them to International Outreach Church. If they want to repent, if they want to come to Jesus, we want to help them. Right. Amen? We don't hate them. I don't hate abortionists. I do not hate women who have had abortion. I don't know the pressures they went through. I don't know the lies they've been told. I don't know the demonic influences on their life that caused them to kill that baby, and it is murder. Are you with me? But I don't hate them. I don't hate them. There's forgiveness and there's restoration. Amen. Are you with me? I hate abortion. I believe in women's rights. I believe in every woman, baby that was killed had a right to live. Amen. I believe that. but I don't hate. I don't see. We got to separate these things. We got to keep our conscience clear here in preaching the gospel. The world knows what we're against, but do they know what we're for? I wonder sometimes. We're so loud about what we're against that they don't know we're for them. I'm for the. Did you know? I am for every Democrat. I'm for them. I want them to be saved. I'm for every Republican. I want them to be saved too. I'm for everybody that doesn't vote. I'm for every illegal immigrant that comes into this country. I'm for them. I want them to be saved. We have laws, and I believe we ought to enforce our laws, but I don't hate people. We don't hate people coming here from other countries. We have laws. We need to keep our laws. But we got to separate that from hate. We don't hate. Amen? I got to keep my conscience clear. And I love people. I'm not against people. Come on. We're against sin. Sin, not sinners. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to James 3. We'll wrap this up. I'm going to give you maybe 5 minutes or so because we're going to have a quick graduation for the kids. It probably won't take 5 minutes to do that. Sure is quiet in here. This is a different kind of message. Hallelujah. This helping anybody? Hallelujah. In James, the third chapter, now we've been talking about, I'm just picking out themes, you know. I think it was said way back, Shakespeare or Ben Jonson, one of those poets, might have been another somebody else, but you don't want to mix your metaphors. If you start out with a metaphor on shipwreck, you need to stay with shipwrecks, you know. In writing, you don't want to mix metaphors in the same sentence, you know. If you're going to use an analogy or allegory, stay with the same one. So staying with shipwrecks or staying with storms, James, the third chapter, talks about this in the first verse, James 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Everybody wants to be the boss and be the teacher, but you're judged more harshly if you're the one leading everybody. Everybody wants to be at the top, but the people at the top are the ones that get shot. They're the most exposed. Are you with me? People at the top are the people that have less freedom, not more freedom. You know, we often think of, I want to be the leader. I want to be the boss. I want to do what I want to. Well, when you're the leader, you can't do what you want to. You got to do what the people want. You have to do, you know, like, you could stay home and watch TV this morning. I can't. I'm the pastor. I got to come to church, okay? I don't got to. I get to, and I want to. But I've given up to, you give up to go up. It's the law of sacrifice. And any business is that way. If you want to run a business, you better get ready to give more than 40 hours a week if you're going to start a business, okay? It takes sacrifice to be the leader, if you want to be a daddy, okay, you really want to be a daddy? Okay, that's a lot more time than you think. If you're not thinking that thing through, you need to think that thing through. Amen. Get married and be a parent, that's a full-time job. That's all the time. That's 24/7. Are you with me? See, anytime you become, when you get up in position or get in promotion, you don't have more freedom. You actually have less because now you're responsible for more people. Yeah. Isn't that right? And that's okay. That's fine if you understand that. So, you know, we don't want to all be many teachers and many masters because we should receive the greater condemnation or judgment. I'll be judged for how I preach to you. I won't just be judged by how I live my life. I'm going to be judged by how I pastored this church. God's going to hold me accountable for what I ministered from this pulpit. Not just what I've believed and what I have shared with my family, but what I've shared with the whole church. So there's going to be a greater judgment. That's why I'm very cautious to share what I believe God is saying, not necessarily what's going to be popular, not necessarily what everybody else is doing, but I want to make sure I've said what God is saying, amen? Because I got to answer to God. And it would be much easier in many cases not have to answer to God. In my thinking, I mean, I could think of a lot of things we could do and say, and I could preach and we could stand for in this church, but the problem is, it's just not what the Bible says. Are you out there? There's things we could do to get more people. There's things, because all kinds of compromises we could do and make, but I will have to answer to God. I'll ultimately got to answer to God. So, brethren, do ye not many masters, knowing that we should receive greater condemnation or judgment, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man able to bridle the whole body. Wow. Get a hold of your tongue, you can get a hold of your whole life. You got to get your lip and your life lined up. Amen? Yeah. For in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Big old horse, little bitty bit. You control them, and the analogy he's using here is the mouth. Behold, also ships, which when though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned with a small helm or rudder, wherever the pilot or the governor listeth, wherever he decides to turn it. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That's a lot of truth in that, amen. But isn't it interesting that the storms don't decide where that ship goes? The rudder does. And I can from this scripture, from this alone, I can see, as far as you and I are concerned, it's not the crisis of life. It's not troubles in life. It's not the wind. It's not the rain. It's not the waves. It's not the storms of life that determine our destiny. It's where we have our rudder set. Amen? It's what we're saying. Because what I am saying and what I am confessing, what I am praying and I am believing is setting a rudder on my ship, and it steers me right through the storms of life, and it keeps me from being deterred and keeps me from being knocked down and blown away. Are you with me? So in the storms of life, you need to hear the word and do the word. You need to wake up the word. You need to stay in faith. You need to stay focused. You need to keep a good conscience, and you need to keep a good confession. Don't back down your confession, okay? What is it that you are believing? Keep believing. Don't change the direction of your rudder. Keep the bit in the mouth, okay? Keep the rudder set and let the wind blow. Amen. We're going to keep going, amen? Praise God. Hey, stand up. Let's give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Woo! Glory. A lot of the scriptures we can get to, and maybe we'll pick it up again next week. Is that helping anybody? Are you storm ready? That's what we're talking about. Have you got, have you caulked the windows? Have you skirted the house? Have you insulated the pipes? When do you get storm ready? Storms are coming. Everybody knows that. Winter's coming, freezes are coming. We get ready for it. Well, it's the same way spiritually speaking. We need to get ready. Praise God.